Now, I want to talk this morning about it's time to pick up your towel. I'm not sure what time you think it is, but in the Bible, there are towels that are mentioned over and over again. You think about John chapter 13. Jesus was there in the upper room, and Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart. And supper being ended, verse 2 says, the devil having already put in the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand and that He had come from God and was going back to God, He rose from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. And after that, He poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that He had girded Himself with. I think we understand a little bit about the background of John chapter 13. We don't need to spend a lot of time talking about the fact that in that land there were all of those dusty roads that were there, and that it was an act of hospitality for those who had dusty feet to have their feet washed. It was a matter of saying to the person, I'm glad that you're a part of where I am. But something we may not be recognized is that Luke tells us, as they're going to the upper room, the disciples are having a discussion. I'm not sure how heated the discussion was, but it's in that same part of the life of Jesus where the mother of the wife of Zebedee, the mother of James and John, had come to Jesus and said, Lord, when You establish the kingdom, put one of My sons on the right hand and the other on the left hand. And I'm not sure if this triggered that discussion as they're headed to the upper room, but there's a discussion that is going on about who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And I'm not sure what that would be like. It might be trying to decide who's the number one football team in America. You know, here they are headed for that upper room. And the topic of discussion in their mind was, am I better than you? And will my place in the kingdom be a place of greater honor than you? Imagine how Jesus felt. Knowing what was about to happen in His life, knowing that one of those disciples would betray Him that night, knowing all of those things. Here they are on the one hand talking about some earthly notoriety, and Jesus is focused on the greatest thing of all. And so as they arrive in that upper room, there's sort of a question that had to be in the minds of all of them, and that is, who's going to wash whose feet? You see, it's humiliating. It's a place of degradation, maybe that's too strong a word, for one to wash the feet of another. It's what the slaves did. It's what the servants did. It's what John the Baptist was trying to talk about whenever he talked about Jesus, and he said, I'm not even worthy to take the sandals off of His feet. And so here they are in that upper room, and in their heart is this matter of who's going to be the greatest. And here's the Lord's Supper that He institutes, and He talks about, I'll not drink of this cup until I drink it with you in the kingdom. And that might have triggered in their minds all of the things that they were discussing. And I don't know for a fact that this happened, but you know that basin had to be rather obvious there in that room. And it's likely that they kept looking at the basin that was over there and the towel that was there. And in their minds they thought, well, I think it's time for Bartholomew to come and wash my feet. I really think that Thomas, he's a doubter. He's not much of a disciple. And look what a great disciple I am. I think just any minute I'll get my feet washed. And to their absolute amazement, Jesus went over there and washed their feet. We need to understand the importance of washing feet in the Bible, but the importance of this very incident. It was a common thing, almost like a handshake. It was almost like when somebody comes to your house and you say, would you like some coffee? Would you like a soda? And they go out of their way. It's a matter of hospitality. And you don't think about it in the same way they thought about washing feet. But who on earth would bow before everybody in that room and wash their feet? And just as an addendum, Jesus washed Judas's feet. I want you to think about that. You don't just wash the feet of the folks you like. Jesus, by His very example, showed what He was doing when He washed the feet of Judas. And so He says to them, John chapter 13, of the verses we've not looked at, He says, do you understand what's happened? Do you understand what is happening? Then He affirms, you don't really understand it. And then He makes this statement. He says, I want you to do as I have done. Sometimes individuals have made a religious ceremony out of foot washing. And they'll come to this passage as though Jesus said, I want you to do exactly what I have done. That's not at all what He said. It was not a religious service that they were at. They were in somebody's home in that upper room. It was a social thing that was there, their spiritual manifestation in it. But Jesus did not say, now you get to church together and you do washing feet. I've always been amazed they do foot washing instead of feet washing. You know, I find that amazing that the times that I've known about, instead of washing both feet, they just wash one foot of the person. Ceremonial type of thing. That wasn't what Jesus had in mind. And so Jesus, when He says to Peter, the only part of you that needs to be washed is the part of you that's dirty, and that's the dirty feet that you have. Well, I've been amazed when in the religious world people have had feet washing and they wash their feet before they get to the service where they're going to have the foot washing so their smelly feet won't be in the face of the person doing the foot washing. Something's wrong with this picture. Maybe you can figure out what it is. But I want you to understand that Jesus talks about some things that we need to do as He did them. I'm wondering if there are not some 21st century towels that we need to take up. I don't know about you, but maybe there's some towels in the 21st century that we need to think about using ourselves. I've got a few towels up here this morning, and I think we'll just talk about the towels that we have and how we can use them. But get the point. The very design of foot washing, doing as Jesus has done, is the matter of not doing what He did, but manifesting the attitude that He manifested. I wonder how many of us, as Christians, have some really nice towels. I wonder how many years we've been Christians. I wonder if we've been Christians all of these years and we've got a towel and it's brand new and it's just as good as the day we bought it and it's never been used. Child of God, have you ever thought about the fact that as a Christian, that as a child of God, God expects you to use towels. I'm not talking about literal towels. I'm talking about Jesus said, you want to understand what the kingdom is all about? Then you need to get out, get rid of self. You need to get rid of self and put your brothers in front of yourself. And you need to understand that being what Jesus is that we count others better than we do ourselves. Have you ever washed anybody's feet? Not literally. Have you ever figuratively gone out of your way? Or is your towel of foot washing a brand? I've been in the church 25 years and I don't know that I've never done that much for anybody. I've ever gone out of my way to tell my brother or my sister in Christ that I honor you because of what you are. Well, there may be another towel that's here. There's another one down here. And you may have seen this one. You may have been to some football games, you know, where you've got these people, they got their sports team and they're all ready to go. And they want their team to win. Are we pretty good with sports towels? Is it possible that we have a towel, but we have the wrong towel in our hands? Is it possible that we have not understood what Paul said whenever Paul says bodily exercise profits little? I'm not at all against sports towels. If I could have found a more crimson towel, I would have had a more crimson towel up here this morning. Roll Tide. Yeah, I want you to understand that. That I'm not, but you and I need to understand that there is that secular world to which we are sometimes so devoted, we don't have time for the spiritual part of our lives. You think about how readily we spend time in our exercise routines, how we are so concerned about the fact that we're gaining weight or hopefully losing weight, how we're so concerned about the fact that we are fit physically, how that we are so attuned to that, there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible does not say bodily exercise does not profit, but compared to the other side, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness. Would you tell me why it is so easy for us to have a conversation with others about sporting activities? And they'll die and go to hell without us ever talking to them about the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we may have the wrong towel in our hands. Well, here's another towel that's here. Here's another towel. I guess you've seen this one, right? It's the one that I use when everybody's watching what I'm doing. Oh, yeah, I'll be of service. I'll be of service to others. You just tell me what I can do, but you make sure that everybody knows I'm doing this. I'll be righteous if everybody's looking. If I know that there are people on the outside looking, then I'll have my towel. I'll be right up there with the best of them. Isn't that an attitude? Isn't that an attitude that sort of makes mockery of saying how great you are and sings the song, "How Great I Am"? You remember Jesus talking about those religious people that prayed on the street corners? They fasted. Nothing wrong with praying. Jesus wants us to do it. Nothing wrong with fasting. Jesus wants us to do it. But here they were doing religious acts and giving of alms, helping those who were poor. And Jesus wanted them to do it. But He says, don't you do it with the attitude, let me gain notoriety by that which I have done. If this is the page we're on, we'd better get another towel. Well, here's another one. This is really nice. This is an expensive towel. It's the kind you put out when company's coming that you want to honor. You know, if your mother-in-law's coming, you don't put this one out. I'm sorry. You understand what I mean? But there's an attitude of us having towels that says that there are some people that are really, really important, and we will wash the feet of all of those who are important. Let me ask you this. If Jesus came to your house, would you wash His feet? Would you go out of your way? Oh, yes. If Jesus were there, would you try to respect Him and give Him regard? Oh, yes. I would gladly wash Jesus' feet. Do you know what's wrong oftentimes in the church? Is we have forgotten those who are the least in the kingdom. And yet Jesus said on the day of judgment, you will be on the left hand. Depart from me, cursed from my Father. Why? because your devotion was not shown to those who are the least in the kingdom. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about if I were sick, if I were in the hospital, not that I'm something special, but I want you to think about the regard and what you would do. Because someone who stands before you every week is in the hospital and their needs that he has. I want you to think about the regard that he has. I treasure beyond an unbelievable measure. There is no way that I can express to you the gratitude I have in my heart when my brother Jerry died because of what you did. But you know, there are others who've lost brothers. There are others who've lost mates. There are others who've lost parents. And the whole point that Jesus is trying to make is the towels are not just to be used to bless them and to be a blessing for those who are able to bless us. Let me illustrate. Teens, if I say Linda and Brandon and Brian, they no longer have a mother. It's time for foot washing. And not just teens. That's only illustration of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those announcements that were made this morning of those whose relatives have died, those who are hurting because of sickness, those whom we might look at and consider to be the least in the kingdom, and yet Jesus says, don't you just have towels for those who are of nobility, those who are the important people in the church. I think sometime of widows. And if the husband who dies in the kingdom, in the church, is some person of importance in the church, and I hate to use that word importance, and I'm just trying to speak English and trying to help you understand. Put that in quotation. There's no importance in the kingdom. But if that deacon dies or that elder dies, there's attention given to that widow, but you let the least in the kingdom, let that husband die, and that wife is hardly mentioned. We may not have been there, but Jesus was washing their feet. God help us if we're really going to be the church of Jesus Christ. God help us. Recognize this? Oh, yeah. Kitchen area over here. Would you tell me why the same people are always over there in the kitchen cleaning up? Would you tell me why whenever there is an announcement that is made of some need and some opportunity to serve, that this is the least wanted towel sometimes in the church? Before I ever moved, well, right after I moved to West Palm Beach, this church has a reputation. And I was preaching somewhere and somebody said, Has Cleon Lyles, is that his name, ever preached in a meeting there? And I said, yes. He said, you know what they said about church? What about the Palm Beach Lakes Church? And I said, what did he say? And he said, that's the eatenest church on earth. They have more garbage cans than most church have deacons. At that time, we had 8 deacons, and I came home, we had 13 garbage cans. Now we got 20 dumpsters, we got 20 deacons and a big dumpster out there. And I'm not talking necessarily about that, but have you ever said, can I help you in the kitchen? I'm not saying, go in there and say, well, I'm going to take over in here because I know how to handle this. That's not the towel situation. I'll take over. I'll be in charge. No. I'm going to get on my knees to my brethren. Get on my knees and serve my brethren. And there are multitudes of ways. Where we can use that. I've got 2 more. I'm sorry. What on earth is this? Sort of old and not all that nice. Maybe it's not the one I need to get. But I'm going to call this the widow's towel. You know why? Because if there's any group of people Jesus is concerned about on this earth, it's widows. We've got 40 plus widows in this church. Now Jesus said through James, pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows. And by the way, I started to say half of you, but that's exaggeration. Not everybody's married. But you're likely to be a widow yourself someday. Whatever you reap, you'll sow. And this church is trying to do all that it can to help those who are widows. And Dick Kelly, raise your hand so everybody know where you are. He's the deacon that sort of heads up this program. And if you want to help the widows in this church, say, Dick, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of helping this church care for people. And here are some people that Jesus said, pure and undefiled religion is not simply doctrinally correctness. It's foot washing correctness. To the fatherless and widows. Now let me say a word to all of you widows. You've been asked, how can we help you? Please stop saying, oh, there's nothing I need. When there's something that if you had a husband still married, that he would fix it in your house. And you are robbing this church of the ability sometimes to give to you and manifest to you the love of Christ. And while there oftentimes is a willingness to help, and Dick, I thank God for the conscientious way that you've worked with our widows. And I thank God for what you're trying to do. Dick told me yesterday, said, I don't know how many, I don't know where the boundaries are out there. Nobody knows where those boundaries are. But you don't have to be a part of a program to get on your phone and call these widows every week and say, just thinking about you. You widows know what I'm talking about. When I talk about the empty house, day after day after day, and he's not there. And a call from a brother or sister in Christ would make all the difference. And finally, Here's this last towel. It's the towel of a soul winner. He could have come and died and left this earth and left behind salvation. But unless the church, and that's us, tell the world about His life and His will for mankind, the world is going to hell. And it takes effort to go out of your way to be a soul winner. But that is God's will for the church. God help us. Our gospel meeting is only 3 weeks away. And we shall be talking far more about it in the lesson next Sunday and in the Sunday after that. But God help us to gird ourselves with the towel of soul winning. Let's pray. Father, bless the Palm Beach Lakes congregation. May we mirror to the people in this area the picture of Jesus washing His disciples' feet. Forgive us, Father, in our lives for misplaced emphasis. And bless us, Father, with eyes to see this earth and to see the lost world that heaven has toward this earth and toward the lost world. We know, Father, that Christ has no hands but ours, no lips but ours, no feet but ours, no eyes, no ears. And we pray, Father, that we may mirror to the world what Jesus had in mind when that night He washed the disciples' feet and then the next day gave His life for our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you a Christian? You need to be above all things. You need to be that individual who picks up your towel and says, I'm going to be a soul winner for Jesus. I'm going to become His servant. And I become His servant by believing in Him, by making up my mind to follow Him. I've got to yield myself. Not my will, but Thy will be done. That's repentance. And when I've confessed my faith in Jesus, I can be immersed and let the blood of Jesus wash away every sin I've ever committed. Why would you want to leave here today and not be a child of God? And when you do that, baptized for the remission of your sins, He adds you to the church, to this army, to this family. You need to be a part of it and then serve Him faithfully until you die. Do you need to be baptized? Do you need to make a public confession as a child of God of wrong in your life? Don't you wait. But let it be known by coming to the front right now. As together we stand and say, will you come?